This is Conversations with Yinka, your go-to podcast for a beautiful blend of pure inspiration, learning, and fun. The show is a platform for real conversations on various subjects such as healing from losing a loved one, romantic relationships, sexual abuse, marriage and domestic violence, business success stories, leadership, and other real-life issues. For more inquiries, please send an email to conversationswithyinka@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at conversationswithyinka and on Twitter CWY Podcast. Conversations with Yinka. Real people, real conversations, real solutions.
Hello and welcome to Conversations with Yinka, your go-to podcast for a beautiful blend of pure inspiration, learning, and fun. It's been 3 episodes so far, and then this is episode 4. I'm sure that you've been having a great time listening to the past 3 episodes. And just in case you haven't listened to any of the episodes, you could go right to my link tree and then get the links and then listen up. I'm sure you will have a great time. Okay, I'm so excited about today's episode because right here I have someone with me who will inspire you, I have no doubt. And then he is the head of business development at Piggyvest. Now everybody knows Piggyvest. I mean, before I came on this interview, I had to ask, oh, what's up? Do you know Piggyvest? What do you know about Piggyvest? I tried to find out things from people, just like sampling opinions pretty much. And yeah, oh, Piggyvest, those guys. Right. Okay. So I have in the studio with me on the show today, Ayo Akinola. You're welcome, Ayo.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad that you're here. We were supposed to do this a couple of days back, but a few snags, right? But yeah, finally, we are here. So let us shoot.
Look at how you're hyping. Yeah, you know, yeah, hype man. But nice one. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Okay. So let's shoot straight into why we're here today. I remember a couple of months back, just before the pandemic, you know, and then lockdown, I was in a class where you were facilitating. And then I asked you to tell us about the Piggyvest story. And that moment when you began to speak, something was struck in me. And then I said to myself, this is a story that every young person, especially in Nigeria or in Africa, needs to hear. Right. So now that we are here and we have the opportunity to share with much more people, I think that we should start on that note. So what is the Piggyvest story?
So the interesting part about this is it's not a rocket science story.
Okay.
It's not a, we didn't go to one mountain to go and pray. And
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it was just an opportunity that we picked up and ran with.
Yeah.
And before Piggyvest, there's been tons of other products that we had done. We started this whole journey since 2012. Piggyvest only came about in 2016.
Okay.
So before Piggyvest, there was, you know, tons of other products.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that, you know, came to light and, you know, were somewhat successful.
Yeah.
We played in the recruitment space with Push CV.
Push CV, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. So that's one product that is still on and still strong now.
Okay.
We had Front Desk, we have 500 Dishes, which was, you know, in food. We did events and things like that. So we played around so many spaces.
Yeah.
And the way Piggyvest came about was one day at the office, I think we were struggling to sort of put things together in terms of our last product wasn't doing so great at the time. So we're in the office and we're like, okay, what is going to happen? And then there was something happening on Twitter.
Yeah.
There was a babe that was trending.
Yeah.
For, she had saved money, 365K, 1,000 naira every day for a year.
Oh, wow.
In a kolo. Basically, that's Piggyvest.
Yeah, now, yeah.
And then she broke it. And then, you know, all the money. So she was trending. And Joshua, one of the co-founders, I was like, you know, let's get a box, you know, and let's, you know, start saving or something like that. So ordered it from, you know, the person that was selling the box on Twitter.
Okay.
It came to the office and...
Was it the actual traditional colors?
It was the box. It was the actual wooden box.
Yeah,
you know,
because you have some forms of color that are not color.
Right. And then, you know, people were buying it and stuff like that. So he bought one. And then he came to the office and he was just like, at the end of the year or at some point, we're going to have to break this thing and then buy another one. It is not, you know, the product in itself.
It won't last forever.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So why don't we do something about it. And then, you know, conversations started coming up. 2 weeks later or thereabouts, there was the first demo of the product.
Yeah.
Right. And the aim was just to help us save, because we had no money. Like, you know, we had no money put back. We were not saving.
Also, if I get you very correctly,
yeah,
Joshua ordered the colo.
Yeah.
Because you guys wanted to save.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was just it.
Look alive.
And yeah. And yeah, 2 weeks later, you know, a demo of the product came in. We started using it in-house. Then we went back to the guy who sold the thing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we just built this thing in case you're interested in using it. And then he told someone, someone told someone. And then on Twitter, it just started like spreading.
Wow.
It just started spreading.
Wow.
We started in 2016.
Yeah.
With about, we had about 300 users and they had saved about 21 million naira in,
wow,
in 2016.
Wow. How did you guys feel at this point?
We didn't know what was happening.
I can imagine. You know, yeah.
We were like, wait, oh, this thing is becoming something.
Yeah.
Now, relax.
Yeah.
You know, let's see if we can build on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we have such a phenomenal team, a team that we've so garried together so many times. So, you know, we're just looking at this opportunity and we're like, you know, we've done some things. You know, let's look at this. No, maybe one of us had a finance background.
Okay.
Apart from that, we have engineers, we have computer scientists, that was it.
Yeah.
So there was no real, you know, solid finance. We were not like a team of finance people.
Yeah.
And then we just started to learn.
Mm.
So then in 2017, we had about 30,000 users.
Wow.
They had saved about quite a bit. If I'm correct, maybe about over 200 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Then jump forward to 2018, we had about 610,000 users. That saved about $80 million.
Wow. Dollars now.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it just started growing and growing. 2020 now, we're at about 1.5 million users. Let's see what's going to happen. Yeah.
Amazing.
So, you know, we've just been growing that way. So it wasn't, in between all of that, there were mistakes. There were, we're learning on the go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had to learn fast. We had to fail fast. We had tried so many other products. So we brought all of those failed experiences, all of those lessons.
Yeah,
you know, and put into this, and then we started building and creating a product based on what people like ourselves really wanted to use.
Yeah,
and you know, something that really helped us as people, and then you know, every other user that came along. So we're happy to see what it was, you know, growing into, and we're still looking forward to what it, because it hasn't even picked.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, so, I agree with you on that. Right now, so the next thing I want to ask is, because in Nigeria, when you finish school, and I see you finished uni in 2012, when you finish school, the next thing is, if your father has a lot of money, right, he gives you, you know, a link or a connect, and then if he doesn't, you carry your CV and you start applying, right? I mean, wasn't that your case for all of you at the time when you left school? Didn't you, because it looks like almost immediately after you left school, you guys started to try things out in business.
Yeah, I mean, so it was not the case.
Okay.
We started, so in school, back in school, in our final year, even in school, we're trying different, we're all like different people trying different things.
Okay.
And then somehow we all just met.
Yeah.
Right in school.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we tried, there was a product we tried in school. It was called Paros at the time.
Okay.
It was a Twitter like, you know, product for school.
Okay.
So we started building things from then on.
Yeah.
And so coming out of school, nobody sort of handed, you know, everything to us and said, no, go.
Yeah.
But one thing we all had in common was the support.
Okay.
Right. There was the support that, okay, some young chaps want to go and try life. Try, let's see.
Mm.
You know, so we started working from Popsy's, you know, living room.
Yeah.
You know, before we knew it, somebody said, okay, how far? This is an office space. You know, just, you guys just enter, use one small, you know, shack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll say we faffed around for about a year because we didn't know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
we came out fresh off, you know, so we just started learning.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's how we all kicked off. Then we were lucky very lucky to meet someone called Olumide Soyombo.
Okay.
He was our first investor.
Okay, okay.
And I mean, aside family and friends, he was our first like real investor. Mm. And he just held our hands all through up till now, you know. So he sort of, he helped us, he guided us, he was a mentor, he was everything basically. Yeah. So from our first product to this one, he's been part of it.
Yeah.
So that's how we grew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, there were a lot of decisions made on your own. Some, you know, some couldn't go to, I know I didn't go to NYC for like the first year.
Wow, because of all of this?
Yeah, you know, some people had to, okay, maybe you do this one now while the rest are here. Odu skipped out on her master's, like scholarship stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're talking Ivy League type school.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, she was like, let's run this product together.
Wow.
You know, so many people made big decisions and took big risks for this to happen. And I'm just grateful and thankful that, you know, we are on a path now that is nice.
I mean, because I'm thinking about it, NYSC, you skip NYSC, you skip going to an Ivy League school, right? And then what if it doesn't work out? You know, there's that fear and everything. So now this leads me to my next question, which is basically that you have a lot of young people out there who have great business ideas, right? I remember when I left uni and I met some guys, you know, say, oh, I want to do this. And fantastic ideas, right, that people will want to buy into. But 1-2 years down the line, they're applying for jobs. Right? You know, I mean, I even know people who, I mean, leave their cities and go into other cities because they see an opportunity, right? But the moment when they begin to experience overwhelming challenges, this thing isn't working, people aren't even buying into it. And I need to feed, I need to pay bills, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you guys scale through, you know? I believe there are still some challenging times, but not as much as when you started out, right? So how did you scale through these challenges? Because I'm asking this question for guys out there, right, who are starting out a business or building something and it is not working. There's even no glimmer of hope, pretty much, So,
I mean, I think there are two sides to it, to be honest. There is a side where we were lucky enough to be the right set of people who came together.
Yeah.
Right? The right teammates. We're lucky enough to have parents who, you know, supported us and who sort of, you know, held our hand. And we're lucky to meet the right person moving forward. That was the luck side of it. Right? But then we also were tenacious. We were like, hey, we'll drink Gary, but this thing is going to work.
It's going to work.
You know, we have tried. We tried a version of Uber.
Yeah.
Long time before Uber came.
I see.
It was called Giddy Taxi at the time. We had flags. We had but we're doing it so manually, but it was so stressful. You know, sometimes, you know, your idea is not just for the right time. The infrastructure or the world is not just ready for it. MySpace was a fantastic product.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe it was too early. But then Facebook came in just at the right time when people, the internet began, you know, was everywhere. Mm-hmm, and, you know, so that's why it scaled.
Yeah.
So sometimes the product is beautiful, but not just ripe. Mm-hmm. The market is not ripe for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had, you know, things like that. And another part of it is that nowadays, so many young people are not patient enough, right? And, you know, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of empathy for people.
Yeah.
And the fact that, yes, you know, you want to live a good life, you want to do all these things, you want something to work out. But I think they're not patient enough. And when I say patient enough, they're not patient enough with life.
Yeah.
You know, everything wants to be rushed. Mm-hmm. Everything wants to be, I want to blow today.
Yeah.
You know, I start building something. And, you know, sometimes you look at a musician, for instance, you know, and you'll be like, this guy, this song is mad, though.
Yeah.
This new guy. But if you really look, this guy is not new. This guy has been grinding for years and years underground, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
So you see some new people that come up on the block and be like, hey, I'm the new kid and I want to blow today.
Yeah.
So many businesses are like that. So there's so many times that young people will start something and just because they hit, you know, a glitch down the road, one small glitch, they feel like, no, it's over. I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Mommy, daddy, you know, and then they quit.
Yeah.
I think that is just the, that's a very big problem with today's world.
Yeah.
And
I mean, someone referred to us as the microwave generation.
Exactly. Yo, yeah. That is so spot on. 2 minutes.
Yeah. I want it now.
Exactly. Yeah. I want it now. So that's basically how it is for a lot of young people now.
Yeah.
But we were able to scale. I guess we had a bit of luck on our side, but then we were really hungry as well.
Yeah. Great stuff. Okay, so now next question is, I recently stumbled on a video you made on IG. I mean, you make a lot of videos on IG.
Yeah, I try.
I mean, if you don't follow Ayo on social media, he's AY Akinola.
Yes.
Yeah, on IG and on Twitter. Right. I mean, fantastic videos and content he puts on. Yeah, so I saw that video and I'm wondering, because the title was even what made me open it, right? That winners never quit and never give up. And you said that is one of the biggest misconceptions in business and in life.
Yeah.
Now, when I watched the video, it then made sense, right? Because it sounded very paradoxical.
Yeah.
Pretty much that, I mean, they've always told us, when you get in there, don't leave.
No.
If you leave, you won't see the finish line, right? Yeah. I mean, but I'd like you to throw more light into that with regards to business and life generally. Yeah.
So I said it's one of the biggest misconceptions, because people are not taking it for what it is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Now when I say winners never quit,
yeah,
I wanted to look at it two ways. If we talk about business, mm-hmm. you know, in business,
yeah.
One is, you always have to fail fast.
Yeah.
Right. And then quitting or failing, it's not the person. It's an event in your journey. Right. So you know where you want to get to.
Yeah.
You have your eyes fixed on the goal.
Yeah.
But you have to be fluid enough to be able to pass different routes.
Yeah.
And some people don't want to take a step back.
Yeah.
In order to get to where they want to get to.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So you know you're living large and stuff like that. You want to start a business. You don't have money, but you can't sell your car to start that business. You don't want to, you know, step back because it feels like, oh no, it looked like you failed. And then also in business, some people start something that isn't working.
Yeah.
They see it isn't working.
Yeah.
They know it isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to quit it and move to something else.
Pretty much like public opinion, yeah?
Because they feel, yeah, what will people say? Oh my God, Yinka has failed in this thing. Hey, see all your swag, you know? And they want to maintain that, you know, swag of being a founder. I'm a founder of this and I'm a CEO of that.
Yeah.
You know, like I said in one other video, anybody can be CEO.
Sure.
You know, the security guard is the CEO of the gates.
Pretty much.
You know, this guy is the CEO of a bank. You know, anybody can be CEO of anything. It depends on, you know, what that thing is.
Yeah.
So, coming back to quitting or failing, you can decide to stop. Once you see it, something is not working.
Yeah.
Right? Don't lie to yourself. If not, you'll sleep there for so many years and you will not move forward.
Yeah.
Right? I know people that are struggling on particular products that I know that, man, this product is not working.
Yeah.
But because you don't want people to say, ah, man, this guy failed. You know, so failing or quitting is just an event in your journey of life.
Okay.
Right? It should not be seen as the end of things. If you need to fail, if you need to quit, do it fast and move on to the next thing. And sometimes going back to even get a job, right, might accelerate your entrepreneurial success. Because entrepreneurship is not, you know, it's a journey, it's a thing. It's not just one moment.
Yeah.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
So even if you're working somewhere and you have to go, you know, you're doing your own thing, it's not working, and you have to go back and get a job, don't see that as a setback.
Yeah.
Right? See it as a change in direction, because you still know where you're going. Maybe your job can help you meet more clients, help you understand management better. And then when it's time and ripe for you to go into your thing, you know, it doesn't become a failure again, because you've learned those lessons. Right? So when I say it's a misconception, that's how people see it. People see it as, oh my God, you've messed up in this land. I don't know if it caused any cost. But you messed up, you know. So that's what I meant by the video. I hope people understand that.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because I mean, on a lighter note, like you said, a lot of people on IG who are CEOs, right?
yeah, definitely.
Right, you know, I mean, there's a lot of big businesses. I mean, one guy's come to me recently when I bought a phone from him. He had so many followers on IG.
Yo.
I don't know how I fell for it. And my guys were wanting me at the office. Yo. Guy. They don't do it before, but I didn't learn my lesson until, you know, he ran me straight. Right. So I mean, I love what Ayo just said. Anybody can be CEO, but you have to realize when you have failed in a particular on a particular path.
Yeah.
And then you have to fail fast.
Yeah.
Right. Because I always say to people that life is a moving train.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, the train doesn't stop until it gets to, you know, where it's going to. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. Now, a couple of months or years ago, I picked up this book. I'd seen it in the bookshop. Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Yeah.
Very fantastic book. I haven't finished reading it just yet, but the first few chapters that I read got me thinking, because there was a lot of, it's a 2001 book, if I'm not mistaken, very old, right? A lot of research put into that book, right? And then, so he also wrote this other book, Built to Last. So he was talking about how that many businesses do not go beyond 15 years. Right, so they use the 15-year benchmark, right? So many businesses do not go beyond 15 years. A lot of people come 5 years and they're out, or some don't even get 5 years, right? And then, so subsequently, almost at the same time when I picked up that book, I eavesdropped on a conversation, I think on social media, where someone was talking about or asking and saying, are there any Nigerian companies or organizations, right, started purely by Nigerians, you know, 30 years and above, right? I think the person even said 100 years, right? But someone else came and said, why are you going too far?
I believe there should be some 30 years, but but I think I understand.
You know, there's definitely some 30 years, maybe Aliko Dangote, you know, and the rest, right? But there's not too many. That's the point here. So I'm wondering, I mean, you've been in business for a couple of years now, and then I'm sure that you must have come across some of all of these pointers, you know, as to why businesses don't grow. Because I love the fact that you mentioned that you guys tried out certain things that didn't work. You also talked about the law of timing for certain businesses, right? So is there a problem with the way we do business in this climb? Is there, are there things that young people, especially, because I'm very concerned about young people, I feel that some of our fathers and mothers, you know, have made their mistakes, and we can learn from them, but I feel like there are unique mistakes that this generation is making, and we need to, like you said, fail fast and then move very fast. And I've spoken to a number of people who grew up abroad or live abroad, and you see the way they're thinking, right? So is there a problem with, you know, us in Africa and the way we do business? Why we don't have businesses we can refer to and say, oh, this guy started in 1990 and then he's still on that path? Because what you would find is that they probably left that path. You know, they work, make I try something else, you know, right?
Is there a problem? More problems there. You know, but I think a lot of businesses are trained and built for when, you know, there's a lot of discussion around how do we, you know, thrive? How do we, you know, make money? How do we, you know, do all these things? But there's no, there's never really so much conversation around how do we survive, you know, when chips are down or when things are looking, you know, bad, right? How do we survive? There's really nobody sits down and has, you know, talks about those plans and just puts it somewhere just in case. You know, they're always talking, oh, you know, we need to get to the next step, we need to get there. What if now, look, there's COVID, there's Rona is in the building, you know, and a lot of businesses had no plan, they had no savings, they had no thing. That is one side. Another side is, I don't think a lot of people plan or train for succession. Right? You know, someone's popsy can come now, build an amazing company, fantastic company, it's grown so big. You know, and then they want to pass it on to their kids. But oftentimes and none, you find out the kids are not actually ready, you know, to take on the, you know, that mantle. You know, maybe the kids, you know, they schooled in great schools and stuff like that, but they didn't start business, you know, from a certain point where they learn a lot. You know, maybe Popsy just comes now and just carries them, puts them, okay, and I'll see you. Bam. You know, and then you don't know how to handle things in such a scale. And then you just, it just crashes. You know, so there should be more plans to train for succession. And then realize that, I feel when people start having a mentality and start thinking about businesses and opportunities that are bigger than them, like it's not about you, it's not about me, you know, it's not about just our family, it's about Nigeria, it's about Africa, it's, it's major, it's big. When you look at it that way, then you're not really looking at, okay, it doesn't have to be your son, or it doesn't have to be, you know, you know, some, whoever is fit for the role and fit for the job should take over. And there's so many things that happen in business. There's so many things that happen in life. You can start now, and 10 years down the line, you know, the whole thing is dead. You know, and you can start now and you still be around for hundreds of years. You know, there are businesses like that. But being able to navigate, having the right team, you know, having, being patient enough, you know, having empathy for those that work with you.
Yeah.
I think it would speak a lot more to how long a business survives than just worrying about, oh, how many people are going to buy from me today? You know, so yeah. I think we should have a lot more business owners, business CEOs, business founders that teach the younger people about the failures.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about successes a lot, but teach about the failures so that when it's time to change hands, when it's time to, you know, pass the baton.
Yeah.
I know what to handle. I'm ready for it. I've learned from it, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, because what you'd find is, like, I mean, like I joked earlier about a lot of CEOs on Instagram. I mean, young girl just wants to sell hair, right? Or young guy just wants to do music, right? And then make this thing just bring money, make I marry, you know? And he's not thinking of the next generation, right? So, and I think that's usually the problem, which is what COVID actually revealed.
Yeah.
Not like it wasn't there before, it revealed it that a lot of Nigerians are hand to mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Right. And we'll come back to that because I believe that that's a problem that PiggyVest is solving at the moment.
Yeah.
Right. You know. But next thing I want to ask is, how have you guys fared in COVID? I mean, COVID is said to have affected virtually everybody, the high and low. Right. But how have you guys fared? Are people still saving and investing?
Oh, I mean, I was shocked, but yes, and in even really large numbers. Because one thing that happened is when COVID hit, a lot of people that were saving before fell back on their savings.
Oh, yeah.
It helped.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, wow, if I didn't have this, I won't be able to, you know, you know. So a lot of people also saw that. A lot of people didn't have savings. People had to ask or, you know, nobody expected COVID, you know. So when people saw that, they then saw the importance of saving. In fact, it's like it hit them and I was like, oh, wow, shit, I have to start saving now.
Yeah.
So a lot more people started saving.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of those, the beginning of COVID, when, you know, COVID really hit, that beginning time, that's when we had one of probably our most higher sign-ups during that period and stuff like that. Yeah, people were flooding in, people were trying to save more. But at the end of the day, COVID will still affect every business one way or the other, you know, indirectly or directly.
Yeah.
Because once that banker loses his job and, you know, cannot earn, then he cannot, after, you know, taking his savings or, you know, he's doing one side gig, but then he's not saving as much as he used to because he's not earning as much as he used to. And then it's a whole, it affects a whole, it's a domino effect. It just from the top, it just starts breaking everything down. He cannot pay his driver anymore, so he has to fire his driver. The driver cannot, you know, fend for his wife and his kids. Those kids can't go to school, you know, and then the driver's brother, you know, it just affects everybody.
Yeah.
So, but for us, we're lucky enough to be one of the businesses that people actually even fell back to.
Yeah.
You know, so I will not say it didn't affect us. It did affect us at the beginning positively, but then you see that some people who used to save 50K before every week, you know, maybe they start saving 40K, you know, but they are still saving because they know how important it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're doing okay.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So the next question I would like to ask is, now you're probably known for spreading what you call the gospel of financial literacy. Right. Because I saw on your Instagram one time where you said, oh, I miss going out to spread the gospel of financial literacy. Right. Yeah. So what is this gospel of financial literacy? And then have you been spreading it pretty much? Yeah.
Basically, it's about money. I feel like people need to know how money works. Right. And that is the gospel I'm trying to preach.
Yeah.
If you know how money works early on, it would help you in your financial future.
Yeah.
Right. And financial literacy is basically just, you know, some skills and, you know, that you have that helps you manage your income.
Yeah.
And helps you make, you know, the best use of it. Yeah. Every form of money that you're making.
Yeah.
And so one of the major things I do is I go around a lot to talk about this. I go to schools, I go to NYC camps, universities, just to try to teach young people how money works early on.
Yeah.
Because if they can know that, then they have a better chance in their future of not being broke or poor. You know, let me not use the word broke because everyone gets broke.
Yeah.
So it's basically just knowing how money works. steps, knowing that you have to make money, you have to save money, and then you have to grow your money, right? We talk a lot about making money. Everybody wants to make money. Yeah. Everybody wants to blow.
Yeah.
We seldom talk about saving money, right? Keeping money.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Everybody thinks your bank, right, is the best way to save. It helps you save money. But I'll tell you now that banks don't help you save money at all.
Yeah.
In fact, banks are bad for saving money. Mm. But they won't tell you that because of, you know, they need your savings. I'll give you an example. You have 5K in your bank account.
Yeah.
You didn't spend money for 2 weeks, or, you know, and you're just chilling in the house for a couple of days. You now go to the ATM to try check, right? How far? Let me withdraw 5K. Mm. Say you cannot withdraw.
Yeah.
Insufficient funds. You check your balance. You see it's 4,900 and something, something.
Yeah.
They've taken some charge or something, right? Your money is losing value.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is the inflation rate in the country, in Nigeria, is about 12% now, right? So any money that you're keeping in the bank that is not making at least, let's say, 10 to 12% a year for you is getting devalued. It's losing its value. And inflation is basically the amount of the bottle, the big Coke that we used to buy before was 100 bucks.
Yeah.
But now the small Coke is now 100 bucks. Mm-hmm. So the same amount, the same 100 naira cannot buy that big thing.
Same
again.
Value, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's basically what inflation is. Mm-hmm. So, but the bankers and stuff will not educate people or tell people about this.
Mm.
But they'll say, you know, keep your money, we'll give you interest, we'll give you 2.5% interest. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? And then if you just sit back and think about it. Financial literacy or knowing about money is not really only left for the finance people, for the accountants. If you know the basics, you're fine.
Yeah.
Let's think about it. You keep your money in the bank.
Yeah.
What do the banks use it for?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They invest it, they give it to loans, they give it to this, and they make a load of money.
Yeah.
But then they give you nothing. And in fact, they're taking charges from your thing. So why don't I just take my own money and then go and invest it and make more money? You get some things are just like really out there, but maybe because they're too close, you can't see
pretty
them.
Pretty much.
Right. So that is what I'm trying to do with financial literacy. Just try to teach young people, hey, this is how it works. If you understand it, you know, the money I keep in the bank is just money maybe I want to spend, you know, today or tomorrow or this month.
Yeah.
You know, but every other thing, it should be making money for you some way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff, really. Because I remember when PiggyVest started and a number of other savings and investment platforms, I mean, questions we were asking out there is, these people are coming to tell us that banks are bad. Right,
and I mean, banks are good for moving money around.
Yeah, but I mean,
but not for saving money.
Right, you know, and that we can do better than banks. So if you give us your money, rather than take SMS charges or debit card charge or something, we will give you interest after a while. And so the question people were asking is, so how are you going to make your own gain?
Yeah.
Right. So I remember when this thing first started many years ago, PiggyVest and a number of other platforms came out, and a number of people say, oh, okay, so I'll refer you and blah blah blah. So I knew, okay, so if you refer me, you're gonna get something. But these people you're telling me
how
about,
do they make money?
Right, so I think you should educate us on that.
So all our funds is housed at ICO.
Okay.
Right? So ICO are the biggest investment firms.
Yeah.
Right? Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
And the way it works is, I'm just trying to explain it very simplistically. Yeah. If you go to ICO by yourself and you say, you know, you want to, you know, invest or something like that, they'll be like, okay, yeah, how much are you bringing? But young people cannot bring that kind of money that they want.
Yeah.
Right? So you will not even get anything serious out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we, armed with 1.5 million people and their savings, can go kick down ICO's door and be like, hey, give us some major interest for our users, because I'm coming with 2 billion, 3 billion monthly.
Yeah.
Right? And they'll be like, oh, okay, yes, you guys, sit down. Do you want to have some tea? You know, because we're coming with a wad load of cash. That's the power of many.
Yeah.
Right? So basically what then happens is we take this money and then we have this interest.
Yeah.
And then we split it with the users.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we can give you a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have some for ourselves.
Yeah.
That's basically how we make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So that, you know, the making money part of it is not... it's not hidden. It's very open. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's basically how we make money.
Yeah.
From savings and things like that.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, being open, right? Just like we said before we came, you know, on the show, I think that one of your many strengths, you know, at PiggyVest is your interaction with your users.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was discussing with someone a couple of days or weeks ago, and then I'm like, okay, so what do you like about PiggyVest? And she's like, I remember how the YX score thing started. It was a conversation on Twitter, and next thing everybody was receiving YX scores, right? And all those things. So the guys out there, no matter how little they are saving, once they get to you guys, they feel like, oh, PiggyFest is going to listen, right? So my money is not just, or I mean, it's not like when you go to the bank and customer care is even making you feel like, guy, how much you even get here, right? You know?
Yeah.
There was like even an incident at the bank yesterday, right? And yeah, so I can imagine that. Amazing stuff. So if I want to sign on PiggyVest and start saving and investing, how do I go about that?
It's simple. You just download the app, you know, register, add your card, and then choose how you want to save, daily, weekly, or monthly, and how much you want to save, as little as $100, you know, daily. So the idea is being able to save money small, you know, every day or every week or every month.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can then, you talked about WAEC and, stuff like that. So basically, I mean, not just for PiggyVest, but for any business owner that is listening to this, you really want to, the focus is your customers.
Yeah.
That is the focus. Mm-hmm. What they want, how they want it, and how best to relate with them.
Yeah.
Right. If you look at all the old apps, all the old finance, you know, websites or banks and stuff like that, they did things so traditionally. But, you know, that's what, the way our parents related with them, and, you know, it's fine, it works for them.
Yeah.
But for young people, for, you know, this generation and the next generation, the TikTokers and the Twitter, you know, all these people, they need something that is very engaging, something that they can relate to, right? So always listen to your customers, you know, always take their feedback, very important.
Yeah.
You know, even if they are bashing you, that's that. In fact, if they're not bashing you, then there's a problem, because you don't know what is not working.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what to improve on, you know, but then if they're bashing you, they're telling you, oh, we might like this, we might like this, take a look at it, see how many people are seeing it.
Yeah.
And then go back to your team and say, okay, how can we build something around this? Whatever you're doing, you might be selling small chops, or you might be saying, but then people want it a certain way.
Yeah.
So you need to really listen to your users, and that's what we do. Basically,
fantastic stuff. Okay, so you heard it. I mean, you want to get on PiggyVest, and I think you should get on PiggyVest, right?
PiggyVest.com.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so download the app on, I believe it's available,
iStore and Play Store. Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. Okay, so finally, final question I would like to ask you is, and then we talked a number of, talked about a number of things, you know, since the beginning of the interview. But for me, one of the most profound things is the beauty I see arising out of Africa. Right, in recent times, there's been so much despair and too many not too beautiful things, you know, to, you know, shut our eyes to. But in the midst of all of it, we see a lot of guys building amazing stuff, you know, in different fields and spaces. PiggyVest is one of those amazing stuff I'm referring to, and then several other things I cannot mention because of you know, brand respect. So but I'm looking, and I've said to you that there's that fear of, we have started on a very high momentum, right? You know, for some of these things I'm referring to, and some of these, you know, spaces and fields. But are we going to be here at the end of the decade? Right? So my question to you is, as someone who is building amazing stuff, right, in the continent, where do you see Africa at the end of this decade?
Where do we see Africa? Hopefully still on the map. Because the thing is, there's a lot of beauty in Africa. There's a lot of brains, there's a lot of major things happening. But then there's also a lot of bad soil. There's a lot of bad foundation. You know, there's a lot of impatience. There's a lot of competition with ourselves. You know, which shouldn't be. I feel that if we as a people come together and realize that, look, it's not just about me as one person, but it's about the collective. You know, we'll begin to, we need as a people to be able to grow as a group. And not as an individual. Right? So we're doing things for the growth of the group. But still understanding that whatever grows the group grows the individual.
Exactly.
That's why I don't understand, you know, politicians that steal money and stuff like that. You steal money, you know, do bad roads or stuff like that. Your kids are going to use those roads. You're messing things up for your kids that are going to use it. And that's because there's a mentality of me. There's a mentality of just I. You know, and that's just messed up. Now, if you see how in Nigeria, and I'll speak about Nigeria because that's my own home country. You see how in Nigeria, when this COVID thing hit, and then some politicians couldn't go abroad, they had to use the, you know, people were saying, you know, let those politicians use the hospitals in their constituency.
Exactly.
The hospitals that they built, they said they built.
They built,
but nobody, they weren't doing that. Yeah. You know, they can't comfortably go there. That's the problem.
Yeah.
To be honest, the problem is fundamental. The problem is in our foundation.
Yeah.
And we have to try to fix that. Africa is, everything is in Africa.
Yeah.
There's nothing we don't have in Africa. Mm-hmm. The best brains are here.
Yeah.
The best and nicest people are here.
Yeah.
Say Nigeria is the happiest, I mean, the third happiest country. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. we're the ones that spend most money on champagne and things like that. Yeah. We're happy people. We know how to. But imagine if we looked after and looked out for ourselves.
Yeah.
In business, in relationships, in as an economy.
Yeah.
If we did things for us.
Yeah.
Not for the now, but for, I'm doing it because of my kid's kid.
Mm-hmm.
If we think like that, I'm doing it for my kid's kids. And if we're patient enough as a community, as a group, as a country, I think we'll be the strongest and the biggest. I think the West, I mean, we've seen all these things where the West had to, you know, say, there was this letter from one of the colonizers to the Queen of England that said something around, oh, these people, we need to tell them that their ways are not, I'm paraphrasing, you know, their ways are not the best and they need to listen to us because if they come together as a collective, they'll be too strong.
Mm.
You know, they were actually saying things like that because they saw it.
Yeah.
It's not like there's no greed anywhere.
Yeah.
There is. Mm. You know, it's not just Africa.
Yeah.
But I think the next generation of people need to understand that we need to do it as a collective. We need to do it as a group. We need to do it as a team.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, I mean, I'm not even thinking 10 years, I'm thinking 100 years, when I'm not here.
Yeah.
You know, how is the economy going to be like? How is Africa going to be like? That is the question.
Yeah.
And we should be asking.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be working towards. We should be working for the next 100 years.
Mm, not for now.
For now. Yeah. We should be working for the next 100 years.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of faith. I'm a big Nigerian dreamer.
Yeah.
I have a lot of faith in Nigeria, a lot of faith in... I mean, some things happen some days that I question my faith. I'm like, oh my God.
I think it happens to all of us.
It happens to everybody. I'm like, oh my God, man. We're not just jackpa.
Yeah.
I'm just free.
Right.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong in going abroad. There's nothing wrong in, you know... Our parents, you know, a lot of people that are in power, they did it. You know, they went out, they came back, they brought their knowledge, and so yeah, it's okay to think that way. But I see Africa thriving. Despite things that are going on even in my home country in Nigeria and things like that, I still believe that there are some really good people.
Yeah.
But they are in too many different pockets. That's the problem. We need to concentrate power.
Yeah.
You know, and if that happens, you know, I think we'll be fine. Africa will be great.
Amazing. Awesome. Amazing. So this is a call out to, in recent times I've been thinking, studying and preaching strategic partnerships, right, and collaboration, right? I mean, you can't do it on your own, right?
No.
If we are going to compete with the West, right? Because that's really our competition.
Mm.
If you look at it, right? In music, in fintech, in law,
in
every single space, that's our competition. Because I love what, I think it was Angelique Kidjo said at the Grammys when she picked up our award, and then she said, watch out for Africa, right? Because, everyone expected Burnaboy to pick up the award, and then fantastic story. I'm not a fan of Burnaboy in that sense, but I mean, when you see good music, you know it. Yeah. So I think that, just like Ayo said, we need to come together. We cannot do it on our own. So whatever space you are in, if you're in entertainment, if you're in fintech, if you're in law, if you are in politics, we all need to come together. I mean, not like what went on in South Africa recently, Africans fighting Africans.
Yeah, it's
makes
terrible.
Practically no sense.
We need
to unite. And then I personally also see that bright future. It looks bleak now for some people, but if you look very closely, you see PiggyVest, you see a lot of other beautiful things coming out of Africa. And then this is the same Africa that was condemned, you know, by many people and still being condemned by many other people, right? But let's look closely, let's collaborate, and let us partner together to make Africa an amazing place.
Fantastic.
Right? Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed this.
Super grateful. Thank you so much. All right. You can follow Ayo on Instagram at AY Akinola, and then you can follow PiggyVest on
Instagram.
PiggybackNG, right? So you can follow Conversations with Yinka on Instagram at Conversations with Yinka, and on Twitter at CWY Podcast. All right. And then if you want to send me an email, you can send us an email at conversationswithyinka@gmail.com. And then we will be very, very happy to hear from you. So till come your way next episode. All right. Do stay safe and have an amazing time out there. God bless you.